You could turn your Bibles with me, if you have one. Again, I do encourage you guys to bring your Bibles . Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're continuing our Advent series on hope, joy, worship, love, and peace. And Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And if you're able, if you could stand for the reading of God's word. Those who are watching online, please stand with us, if you are able. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. This is God's word to us this morning. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Christmas is about news. News. Christmas is about not just any news, but it is a good news, the Bible says. Christmas is about good news of great joy. And the news is like this. Hear ye, the King of the universe has a message of good news. All who swear allegiance to the King and his throne, all who bow their knees before him, relinquish all the arms of rebellion, all your sins will be forgiven. Let it be told. You will have eternal life if you trust in Him and love His Son. That's the Christmas news. Christmas news, good news of great joy. And what I want to do in the rest of this sermon, in this good news of great joy, what I've just said, hear ye, there's three things about Jesus that you need to see and hear in the text. But before we actually go into the three things in the text, look at verse 11. You could put the verse 11 up there. "For unto you is born this day," this city of David, this good news of great joy is rooted in history. It really, really happened in a real day, in a real place. It is not a myth. Just like you were born in a certain time, in a certain place, all of our kids were born in Ithaca Hospital there, in a day, in a time, same with Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the perfect Son. was born in a day, in a real day, calendar day, in a real place. In other words, this good news of great joy that has been prophesied for 5,000 years, not just scattered prophecies here and there, the whole entire Old Testament of good news of great joy of the Savior, of the Messiah, of the perfect Son has become a reality in history, in a day, in a real place. That's why you could trust it. The whole Old Testament describes the perfect Son, and now that description comes in the flesh, in a human being. And this great news of great joy is three things I just said. Look at it. First, look at verse 11 one more time. For unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son. This is talking about the birth of Jesus. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. A Savior is born. And remember last week, in our combined service, I tried to help understand the totality, what salvation or what this Savior has come to do. And I'm going to try to do a little bit more. It's hard to unpack things in like 25, 30 minutes, especially when we have like combined services where I only have like maybe 10, 15 minutes because it's translation. Remember, salvation or Savior, this is what the Savior who was born, what he has come to do is not just save you from individual sins, actions during the day. It's bigger than that. The word salvation is the same word for deliverance. Salvation is take you who are in danger and take you out of danger or deliver you out of danger, rescue you out of danger into another world of safety. That world, that realm is danger. Here is safety. He literally took you from this kingdom into this kingdom. The kingdom of darkness into now the kingdom, the world of light. Anyone saw a Shawshank Redemption? It doesn't work only if you, like, you know, a couple of you guys, like, raise your hand. Better than Shawshank Redemption, which I'm going to talk about a little bit, but a better illustration of this deliverance or this salvation is the movie Scrooge. And I don't know if you read the book, but one of the two good movies about Scrooge is Jim Carrey. It's an animated version. Great, great copy of the whole deliverance, the salvation. Or if you are the old school, back in the same movie, it's not in animation, it's by Albert Finney. I believe it's like, don't quote me on the date, like 1970. It's sort of a movie and a musical. Go grab a copy and see it. All-time favorite movie, Scrooge, Jim Carrey and Albert Finney. But Shawshank Redemption is similar type of, you know, this redemption, this deliverance or salvation, taken out of from a realm of darkness and reign of sin into freedom of light. And those of you guys know that movie, played by Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins. And basically, one of the themes of the movie is when these guys were in prison for like all their life, okay? And the word is institutionalized. They're so used to the prison life. and they're talking. If you get freed, you know, from 30, 40 years of living prison life, doing everything, you know, they're masters of this world. And when you get freed from prison, they're taught, Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins, the gang of them talk about, when you're free from prison, would you live a free life? Could you do that? And one guy in the movie was freed all of his life from prison and was set free. Really happened. It's not a make-believe. He was really set free from prison and had a life of freedom. And he couldn't live it. Eventually he killed himself, committed suicide. Morgan Freeman, eventually he was afraid. He wasn't sure if he could live this life, been institutionalized, living in prison, set free. And of course, I love movies with a happy ending. Of course, he decided to not go back. He thought that, you know, maybe I could just like, you know, stab someone and go back to this life. Well, that's what, if you are a Christian this morning, a Savior has been born. And when you believe in this Savior, and when you say you are saved, He literally took you from prison, that life, and He took you out of it into a life of freedom. You don't have to do what you did before. He set you free. And sometimes we're so stupid. I'm so stupid. Sometimes we live like we are institutionalized. We're literally in prison. When we are really free. We do dumb things like that. But that's not what this Christmas news is about. He has literally taken you from this place, this prison, reigning of sin. And He has taken you out into a new life. A life not from bondage to sin. It does sometimes feel like when you've been living this prison life of 40 years or sinning for 40 years, as long as you could remember. And if God rescued you and placed you into this another place, another world, stupid us, we think it's impossible to defeat the sin, defeat the old habits that you did before. And we continue in this new world, we continue to live gratifying our sinful nature. You know, one of the things that Satan does to Christians who are living in this another world of light, one of the key ways he tries to institutionalize back into the prison life, the sinful life, is he uses data to influence your mind. The mind is your first self-defense. He gives you lies to you so that you will believe. Not the truth. Not to walk in this light, in the truth, in this kingdom. He will feed you information to make you believe. That's what is paramount. When you are rescued, when the Savior rescues you, the battle is not over. The battle just has begun. Salvation just started. And you have to keep following the light, the truth, in the Word, following Christ. Not half-truths and half-lies of the world and shaped by them. Now, you're shaped by the truth now. And God starts to change. Every day, as you follow the light, the truth in the Bible, the 66 books in the Bible, and as you follow the leading of your Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, He starts to change you. One by one, sin, one sin after the other. And where is He leading you? To the very image of Christ, to heaven. That's God's people's destination. Christ did not come to reform this world. He has closed His book on it. He has made another world to awaken you from this corrupt world and taking you out to another world. That's the news. You see why Jesus, when He came, didn't reform the government that He was in. Protest the Roman government. He didn't do anything like that. My kingdom is not of this world. I mean, if He was, of course, would charge through and be the king. Overthrow the Roman government. Overthrow all the chief priests. You know what I mean? He didn't do that. His main problem wasn't physical hunger or physical healing. If that was His goal, of course He would heal every single sickness. You know what I mean? He'd be working on the physical poor of the world. He didn't do that. He did miracles, physical healing, to testify who He is. He's a miracle worker. Trust in Him. Don't trust in people. Don't trust in the world. It's sand. The Savior has come to take you out of this world. Called you into the kingdom of light, to another world. The perfect world. And the Son is sitting there right now. That is your new home. There is your citizenship. My brothers and sisters, that is the good news of Christmas, of great joy. Number two, the Messiah. The Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And you see, the city of David, that's not a mistake. It's not talking about just location. Jesus is connected to the Old Testament King David. He will sit on David's throne. And what David did is incredible. He reformed the entire nation under God. He was a man after God's own heart, remember? And what Jesus has come to do as a son of David, David did these things. The Son of David, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come to the special project of kingship, sitting on David's throne. The only difference between David and the Son of David is Jesus has come to establish a spiritual kingdom. David established a capital city, downtown Jerusalem. Jesus has come to do a spiritual what? Kingdom of capital city in heaven. David destroyed all the Canaanites, Philistines, Midianites, Mosquitobites. Jesus has come to destroy spiritual enemy, Satan. He did that, remember? The first thing in His ministry was deal with Satan and defeat Satan that the first Adam could not do. He defeated him by the what? By the word of truth.
spiritual enemy is the world that we have remade. And you being sinner and the world that was remade, it fit like a glove. Have you noticed that about you and our children? When they're born, they grow up, they'll say, oh, Jesus, number one. He's my everything. No, toys are everything. Other things they love because they're born in sin. And the world, he did that with you. When I got converted, immediately my life was all about the world. Everything was about the world. And he showed me how corrupt this world is. How bankrupt it is. There is no hope here. And open my eyes to see there's hope in the kingdom that he's going to make. Less attached to this world, more attached to this future kingdom, future world for his children. That's why, for you, my brothers and sisters, no matter what happens to you in this world, you're not going to lament and be discouraged like the unbelievers. No, you won't. Because you believe, you see the good news of great joy. This Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one with the Spirit, sitting on David's throne, the King, he's going to rule you and me with wisdom and with power. He's leading you, my brothers and sisters. Follow him. Take every word that he says. Who cares what I say? Every word that he says, he's your King, the Messiah, the anointed one. He knows what he's doing. You don't know. Your heart of a heart says you don't know. But he does. He knows exactly what to do. Follow him. There is the good news of great joy. What a salvation. What a King. David has come to establish a government. Christ has established a government too. He's the head of the church. I'm not the head. I'm one of many members in the body. And I have a gift that you need, and I have a gift. There's gifts that you, that I need. There is a church, and Christ is the head. And you listen to him. You only listen to me if, through the Bible, the King speaks through me to you. I'm not talking to you. The King is. And every Sunday, you hear the King, and you could say, yes, sir, or you could say no. That's called rebellion. As I'm faithful, if leaders, teachers, preachers are faithful to the Bible, to the message of the King, you must listen to it and take it seriously. The King has spoken to you. You're not rebelling against me. Rebelling as I'm faithful. Any preacher, any teacher. David gathered all the materials for temple building. He didn't actually build it. Solomon, his son, built it. You know what Solomon means? The temple? It means shalom, peace. There'll be peace here. Peace between man and God. And it's here your sins are forgiven through the sacrifices. And Christ, as you know, made peace between you and him as a mediator. All right. Number three, a perfect son. I see that in verse 14.
Verse 13, suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, rejoicing and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And the question is, who is God pleased with? When God looks at you, when God looks at you, is he pleased? When God looks at me, is he pleased? No, of course he's not pleased. He's pleased with no human being. The standard of pleasing God is absolute perfection. He's not pleased with anyone on earth. But there's one that he is pleased with. He wasn't created. He was the eternal Son before all creation. The second person of Trinity. Fully God, fully man. Well, fully God, and has come as a man. And he has become God's Son in the flesh. Remember when Jesus was baptized, right? The heaven opened. The dove came, which is a symbol of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because he has a job, a great job to do. Power that he needed to single-handedly build with wisdom and power a kingdom for God's people, his children. And the Father said, what? Did he say, young? Young! He's pleased with you. No! He's only pleased with one man, the God-man, his perfect, eternal Son in the flesh. And if you are a Christian, genuine faith, God has made you one. Remember, I said this many times. I hear it again. The good news is he has made you one with his perfect Son. And when he has delivered you into this realm, you're not by yourself. You're joined to this man, Jesus. His perfect record. And he temporarily clothes you with his righteousness legally, okay? And what he's going to do is, outside you are acceptable or righteous, pleasing to him. But what he's going to do in this realm now, he's going to take the insides. Everything inside, your thoughts, your feelings, everything about you, and he's going to change you to be pleasing on the inside. And the way he does it is to join you to him, to Jesus. That's the news. You have to be joined to him. If you're not joined to him by faith alone, through grace alone, through scripture alone, you're eternally lost. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you're sitting on this pew. It doesn't matter what you say. Only. Of course it matters. You will be saved if you what? Confess with your mouth and what? Is that it? Confess with your mouth? I mean, I could confess all day. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Messiah. He is the perfect Son. I'm in. No! When people get baptized, which we did last week, when they get baptized, something radical has happened to them. They've been lifted, rescued from the kingdom of darkness, centered on themselves, and rescued from that into another world, joined you to the perfect Son. And there's a new program for you now. A new life, a new creation. And the job of the Spirit of Christ, the third person, is to remake you just like the perfect Son. That's why He saved you. That is your hope, your joy. That's what Christmas is. A Savior has been born, prophesied for 5,000 years. A deliverer will come. A king with power and wisdom. Outside of this universe, the king from heaven has come down, condescended, making a kingdom of people, making them more and more to the likeness of Christ, the perfect Son, to His image. That is your program. That is the will of your life. The will of your life is not to be a programmer, to be a business person, be an entrepreneur. I mean, be all you can be. That is not the will of your life. I mean, that was your will before when you were in the kingdom of darkness. That was me too. All about me. When God rescued you, showed you this great news of great joy. Savior has been born, the Messiah, the perfect Son. Now you see, you should see. That's why it's in the Bible. Your will for your life now. This good news, this good news for you of great joy is not to focus on you. It's to focus on God now. And what He's trying to do to you, change you every day. That's what the church is about. To come here to be changed more and more to the image of Christ. If the church is not doing that, it's not the church. Come on Sunday, listen to a tolerable sermon, sing some songs, hang out afterwards and go home. That's not what the church is. Under the umbrella of worship. I worship this Sunday. I beg God a favor. I did a holy thing this week. I go do my own thing for 6 out of the 7 days. No, the church, you come to be more and more changed to this perfect Son. The job of the church is to continue to save you from all your sin until you are perfect. Just like Him. You want that? Do you want that? If you don't want that, I really doubt you're a Christian. And the reason you don't want that is because you're blind. The reason is not your passion in your life. It could be ignorance. Yes. You don't know yet. You're a brand new Christian. Or you could be rebelling against God as a Christian, or you were never born again. So I pray. You must believe. My brothers and sisters, you must continue to believe every day of this great news. As Sam said, don't just celebrate in these 3 Advent seasons. Yeah, it's special. You got to believe January of next year, February, March. Continue to believe. Don't make most of your calendar year all about you and then Jesus in the 3 Sundays out of the year. That is not salvation. Good news of great joy, a Savior has been born. The King, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come to direct you now. What good news of great joy to celebrate this Christmas in a perfect Son that you want to be more like. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us. Somehow, Satan has bewitched us that salvation is to save us just from hell, to do what we want to do with our lives. We dictate our lives from our often sinful desires, focusing on ourselves. That is not what deliverance and salvation is. You have come to rescue us from the self. All the selfish, sinful desires. To reprogram us. To deliver us from the sinful habits of our former life. Awakened us to anew the newness of life. Lord, you know, all the angels, all the elders on the throne is rejoicing in heaven now, perhaps weeping upon your people who are not in the program of what we claim to say and believe. We are living in our sin, gratifying the sinful desires of our flesh. We're not waging war against our love affair of this world and the things in this world. We're right in the program of our enemy. Oh Lord, awaken us this Christmas. This great news of great joy of our Savior, the King, the Messiah, and the perfect Son. May these truths ring into our hearts. Oh Lord, change us. Do a miracle this Christmas to your people, your children, who's been bought with the precious blood of your Son. Oh Lord, help us to live in that blood and why it was shed. Take us deep into your word as we come and get ready to worship this King and bow our knees next Sunday to next year, oh Lord. Have mercy on us. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.